Mentally ill people often find that one of the revolving doors in their lives is the door to jail. Recent changes in the mental health staff at Oahu Community Correctional Center seem to be winnowing the services and the hours of service actually available. Dr. Mark Mitchell, formerly a mental health administrator at OCCC, is the latest to be let go in a string of contracts not renewed in recent years. So what is the obligation of public safety to mentally ill inmates? Kat Brady is the coordinator of the Community Alliance on Prisons. She joins us now. Hi there. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Now, this latest move by public safety has a context stemming from about a decade ago. And you were there advocating for inmates, certainly mentally ill inmates, back then when the Department of Justice turned their eyes on OCCC. Why did that happen?
Well, it's kind of interesting because around 2005 or six, I got a call from the Department of Justice from somebody who, an investigator in the Civil Rights Division, and he said, we're coming to Hawaii to look at mental health services in the correctional facilities. And I said, well, that'll be a short trip and a short report since we don't really have services. And he was shocked. And I told him I had just been at a meeting at the Department of Public Safety where the former director had actually said, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
You're talking about
not
Ted Sakai.
Providing mental health treatment, Ted Sakai said, was a lawsuit waiting to happen. And then DOJ came in, but it was under the Bush administration, and Lingle was the governor, and of course our community mental health system kind of was diminished under that administration, and we're still trying to build it up. So right now, jails are being used as our de facto mental health centers, which the staff is not trained to do.
But when Dr. Mitchell came in, he did increase some of that staff and tried to create a little bit of order out of chaos.
Yes. He actually came in when the Department of Justice came out with their report, and he did an amazing thing because the department was totally in chaos in this area, and he really organized how to deliver good service to people who actually need it. And the number of people who actually make the cut for severe and persistent mental illness is about 17% statewide. He told me it's about 24% at the women's prison. And this we know, that women have higher levels of co-occurring disorders, depression and illegal drugs to stem their mental health problems. So we know that we have a huge gap of people who are diagnosed under DSM-5. But then there's another group that don't make that cut. That is really concerning to me because this is really an Eighth Amendment violation. You know, it's how you treat people in prison. It's a constitutional issue.
So you're talking about the people who would be on sort of the edge of,
yes,
of mental illness as defined by the DSM-5.
Yeah, but they don't quite make that cut for serious
and persistent.
Right,
but I mean, it's like anything else, when you're right there at the edge, you're still at the edge, and you're saying with those people, which seem to be a larger population that we're not really looking toward, what will be the outcomes for those people when they cycle back out into society and then come back in? So what happens with those people? Do they not get any services now at all?
Minimal to none. And that is a huge problem because it's a disproportionate number of the population. But even the severe and persistent mentally ill, I mean, there are people at OCCC that have the name like Jane Doe over the door because they don't know who they are. So what are we doing? Jail is not the place for somebody who is struggling with a mental health issue. So we should be looking at things as public health problems and criminal justice problems. When you have cancer, you don't go to a lawyer. You go to somebody who can treat that. And when you have substance abuse problems, jail is not the place that is going to help somebody overcome or recover.
Sometimes there are alternate avenues, though, to be able to get some of those outcomes. I mean, looking at your example, sometimes you do have to go to a lawyer potentially to be able to get relief from a particular organization, and that becomes your route to getting what you need to have happen. We've seen some of those convoluted ways happen also with public safety.
Yes.
What do you hear from Director Nolan Spinda?
Well, I guess what I found so disturbing was that he didn't feel that the diminishing of services, each person should be getting 20 hours of therapy a week. That has been reduced to 5. There are a number of vacancies. The legislature had allocated funding for 21 positions. Most of those positions are still vacant. So to have the director say that he doesn't see that it would be a problem, that there's really no, he said, I would hesitate to equate the number of vacancies with our ability to provide a safe, secure, and healthy environment. I don't know how somebody could say that when they know that people are in need of services and their services are cut to 25%. We know that people need, they need staff to help people, and we have vacancies. So how could that be true?
Going back to the context of all of this from over a decade ago when the Department of Justice began to put their eyes on Hawaii, clearly they still say that if they want to have more mental health services added to prisons and jails, not just OCCC.
Oh, yes.
So isn't this becoming a larger issue that Director Espinda is going to have to deal with regardless?
Oh, it's a huge issue because that was part of the settlement, that they actually would expand mental health treatment to every facility in Hawaii. So, unfortunately, the Department of Public Safety has been consistent. Every time the feds come in and, you know, provide oversight and make recommendations, the department behaves. As soon as they leave, we go back to business as usual. So that's the consistency in the department, but not something to be proud of.
So what I hear you saying is until there's another case that comes up that brings us back to the Department of Justice and potentially brings back federal oversight, you don't think that there's going to be much of any increase in services for people who are mentally ill and in jail?
No, I think when people speak truth to power, and the consequence for that is getting fired, that is a very clear message coming from the administration.
You're talking about Dr. Mitchell and others who have tried to raise the issue.
Yes. The medical director was fired last year. A psychiatric nurse left within the year. And they just let go Dr. Mitchell and Dr. Yee.
We have to wait and see how this is going to play out, but I can't imagine it's going to be necessarily a good thing for some of the people that you've been talking to.
No, we need to treat people like human beings.
Kat Brady, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Kat Brady is a coordinator of the Community Alliance on Prisons and an advocate for social justice.